And one of the problems is that history, you've heard the thing about if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's, if you don't learn from history, it'll kill you. You know, we do the same thing over and over again historically, thinking that we're not going to make the same mistakes that the bozos before us made. And yet, if you read, you will find that nowhere in this history of this planet has any invading army or occupying force of any regime, empire, government, ideology, or whatever won against a popular uprising, guerrilla warfare put on by indigenous people in their own country. That is a fact. You may not agree with them politically, religiously, whatever. You may butter their bread on the wrong side, you know, whatever. You can't beat them. You kill them. Kill them all. Kill every one of them. Never beat them. And so we did that in Vietnam. The Russians did it to us, did it to themselves in Afghanistan. And now we've invaded a country that was no threat. See, that's the thing that really scares me, is we've walked over a line. We have stepped over a line from saying that we wait until we're attacked before we attack, whether or not that attack is you know, like going, you know, go, yeah. And then someone smacks you in the eye to go, well, hey, hit me so I can hit him back. You know, we've done past that. Preemptive force. That is frightening. That is real frightening.
I can address that specific question about Afghanistan and the Soviet invasion.
Please do.
Any of you who are in the habit of searching the web, get on the Google and type in Selig Harrison in Afghanistan, Washington Post, or go to the Washington Post archives. In 1979, he put an article out in the Washington Post National Weekly Edition, in which he explained that the CIA was working with the Shah of Iran to mess up the government of Afghanistan. Afghanistan had, since the end of World War II, been a neutral country, in the same way that Mexico is neutral. Tilted toward the Soviets, but basically neutral. The Shah of Iran had a grandiose plan to become the third world military power. That's one reason he was buying all the U.S. weapons.
Okay.
He sent his secret police called SAVAK into Afghanistan. SAVAK is perhaps the most vicious secret police that ever existed. Began to kill off communists in Afghanistan, and there were communists in the military and whatever. Anyway, what happened was the Soviets watched what was happening. I believe that Chalmers Johnson, in his book Sorrows of Empire, mentions that Carter approved a plan to mess it up and said, we will give the Soviet Union their own Vietnam. And so finally what happened was the Soviet Union saw that they were going to lose the only neutral country on their border. And they finally staged first an overthrow and then finally the invasion.
Sure.
But the
sure.
U.S. got what it wanted, an
sure.
excuse to
kill Russians. This whole game of, thank you. This is why I asked for microphones and that, but this is dialogue. This is information. That's why I asked for this type of structure. You know, I mean, it's real easy for somebody to stand up here, give you a real nice speech, blah, 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 thank you very much, good night, bye. But this is an interchange of ideas, of information, you know. And we have ourselves in a very precarious position now, because we're a country now that is not looked upon in a favorable light by a lot of people in the world, and yet the American citizen per se is not in control of that policy that is being concocted. They don't You know, I mean, this book here about about that much of this book is all notes and bibliography and where articles like this man was talking about, articles from the Washington Post and that were put together to make this. And yet most people don't really know because we're not given that information freely. We're told they hate us. Real simple. They hate us. They hate our freedom. They want to enslave us. You know, the same as the Russians were going to do the same thing to me, Steve Hasno, when I was 6 years old growing up in Oakland. They now have the same thing going on with terrorism. But this is a never-ending war. I saw the never-ending story with my daughter when she was 5. Now we've got the never-ending war, because if you fight a country, you can pretty much draw that to a close. You know, ideologies, you can defeat or win or whatever. How do you defeat a terrorist? How do you chase a terrorist? And to one person, a terrorist is their freedom fighter, their patriot. Never forget that. The British did not like our people. They called us bandits because we stood behind trees and shot them in the back. Didn't fight fair, you know? Then the military started. I just heard a general, I don't know, I mean, just probably 3 weeks ago, complain that the Iraqis don't fight fair. That, like, you know, we go and we kick a town all to hell and everything, and then we leave, and all of a sudden they come back. Well, gosh, really? You know, how did you figure that out? You can't beat them. You couldn't beat us. And I mean, I'm not a pacifist, folks. Don't get me wrong. Somebody lands on the western coast of the United States, they got a problem. You know? So why would people here be surprised that when you invade another country that was not a threat to you? And don't get me wrong here either, Saddam Hussein is a real meathead. He's going to get his. This guy, I got no love for him. But he also took CIA money when he was fighting Iran, because we were mad at Iran because they took our embassy and kicked us out of the country and threw our Shah out. So now we can't have our electronic listening device along the border of Russia and eavesdrop anymore like we've done for 30 years. So they're mad at, you know. So here, Saddam, here's some biological chemicals. Throw them at the Iranians. You want some more guns? No problem. He was our buddy. He was our fair-haired boy fighting the Iranians. And then he didn't become our fair-haired boy. And now he's in jail. The country's gone. Remember Noriega? He was our buddy too. Until he stopped being our buddy. It's dangerous being a friend of the United States if you really think about it. You can wake up one morning and find yourself dead and or in jail. So, any more questions, please? I ramble. So.
Thanks for coming, Steve.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One of them is rhetorical, and the other one is probing. The rhetorical one is, doesn't it seem hypocritical of President Carter for not allowing the Olympic athletes from the United States to go to the Olympics on the basis of those damn Russians are going to compete? And they're nasty, and so we're not going to go.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, that's playing the world political game. I'll stomp my feet and keep my athletes home and make you look like the bad guy. Of course, that's what they do. They play like that, though. This is how you keep people all amped up and hating each other, you know. And the guy did drive a nuclear boat. You know, I mean, Carter, he may build houses now, but the guy did drive a nuclear submarine. So, you know, and your second question. I mean, I don't even know if that makes any sense, but, you know.
Yeah, the second question is, you know, these policies seem really insane. Like they come out from children that never grew up and that throw tantrums and all that kind of stuff. You know, going back to Johnson and Vietnam and all that. But I just can't stop there. You're giving us a lot of facts, which are corroborated. You know, I've heard a lot of them. I have no argument. But there has to be some motivation that makes some kind of sense to somebody. Somebody's interest must be involved. Can you probe into that and give us some idea of something other than, you know, this is Bush's craziness?
Well, I mean, I can be, you know, real flippant and say that Halliburton's having a good day. You know, war does produce profit. You have to have manufacturers for all these different equipment, from bullets to Band-Aids. So, you know, in a sense, it's a very profitable endeavor, as long as you're not on the losing end. See, that's when it gets ugly. If you're the one all of a sudden that's got your ass against a wall, and it's like, okay, it's over. Now you got a problem. But as long as you're standing there dishing it out, you know, so what? And you got people that never win. See, you know, I mean, George Bush is a coward, period. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I got a Purple Heart, a combat infantry badge, and a bad attitude, you know, could have done without all three of them. That man did everything he could to get out of it. Karl Rove, too busy. Dick Cheney, I had other priorities. Rush Limbaugh, you know, I'd love to have him in my platoon for about 5 minutes. You know, all these people that want to go out there and beat the drum and hammer the hammer against the anvil, they never went, they didn't want to go, they didn't have to go, but they'll send your families to do it. And they'll just get you convinced that, you know, just like me, look at the map of the nuclear explosion on the wall and see Oakland obliterated for 19 years. Well, gosh, I'm a paratrooper. Wonder about that. And that's how insidious this whole thing is. This is not something that just randomly happens. I went to drill sergeant school for 6 weeks when I got back. They purposely taught me how to train people, how to take little Johnny from the suburbs, strip him of his identity, and remold him into a soldier that will do as he's told. This is not just random, what do they call it, intelligent design? Yeah, this didn't just happen yesterday, folks. And that's the problem, is not enough people look at that. Just logically look at it. When something doesn't seem right, don't you know it? I mean, like, you know, you go, wow, man, that sucks, you know? Then you go, well, let's do it again. Well, no, you don't stick your hand in a fire 3 times to figure out if it hurts, do you? No. But we make the same mistakes over and over again for money, power, and power is a real good one. These people don't care about, George Bush doesn't care about money. He's got more money than, he'll never have to worry about money. Power. Manipulation of masses of people. That is a rush that goes way past money. Dick Cheney really enjoys himself. You know, the CEOs of Bechtel and Bethlehem, Bechtel, Halliburton, and that, they couldn't be happier. You know, I mean, and they're going to clean up New Orleans. No bid contract to Halliburton. Just like that. Boom. And a lot of the black people that were in that city, they ain't going to get no job helping clean it up. They'll probably bring Iraqis in from Iraq. Give them a job over here. Hey, you want to get out of the war? Let's go clean up the hurricane. Hey, no problem. I'm going. I'll even wear a baseball cap. Let's go. Raw America. Been doing it for years. We haven't had a period of time in our history that we haven't been at war with somebody, starting with the British and right up today. Went across the United States, American Indians were conveniently told to get out of the way. The ones that didn't were buried. The ones that did got stuck on reservations and then recruited into our armies to go fight people in other countries. Fancy that. Is this addicted to war? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. That's my motorcycle. I purposely painted that army green and black. And on the side cover is a statement that says, never think that war, no matter how necessary nor justified, is not a crime. Ask the infantry, ask the dead. And that's Ernest Hemingway. So yeah, we are addicted to war. You know?
Any more questions? It's all clear, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else is.
You've said it all.
That's on. That's the bottom. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you. Just get this book and start looking at it. Just look at it from different eyes.
You know, if you have some questions for Steve and you don't want to come up to the microphone, Steve is going to be back here at the Veterans for Peace table. It's a blue canopy back here on the west side of the plaza here. Steve, thank you very much. I have here for you. Yeah, another round of applause for Steve, please. Big round. Let's, you know, it takes guts to stand up here in the middle of this kind of place and say the things that he has to say.
I want you all to feel good about yourself because this is the heartland of the country. San Francisco has a parade, nobody thinks about it. D.C. has a parade, nobody thinks about it. Little towns in the middle of the Central Valley do this, and the Bush boys get scared. Okay? This is where it starts.
Thank you again, Steve. I've got a certificate of appreciation for you. You want this? Here you go. Thank you for coming down. This is a little... Yeah, we'll put your name on there. We wrote it out real nice and pretty, and you can put that on the wall. Okay, now, we have a little bit of a musical interlude ready. We have this is Green Machine. They are a very good band. And I'm feeding back, right? And they're gonna rock the house for us a bit. So welcome to Green Machine. I'll let them take it away.